took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town. Keep away from a runaround sewer, yeah. My miss the lips and the smile on her face, the touch of her hand and this girl's warm embrace. So if you don't wanna cry like I do, I keep away from a runaround sewer.
Whoa. Oh yeah, remember Dion? Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner Big Ed Davis, we are back. We are back from the 4th of July weekend. We thank you for joining us today. It is Wednesday, July the 6th, and away we go. You know, it's funny, you come out of the 4th of July holiday, and all of a sudden it seems like you're almost in the middle of July. Just kind of moves along quickly. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Laura Reese of the Heritage Foundation about what she calls the Supreme Court's unwise decision to end the Remain in Mexico policy at our southern border. So stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And American confidence in just about every U.S. institution is down right now. Everyone, according to a new Gallup poll, very depressing. We are going to talk about that with the proprietor of the Barber poll, Andrew Ceresi, maybe have his comment on a few others. So stay tuned for that. And why does the left hate Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas so much? They have despised him. He's a black man. He's only the second black U.S. Supreme Court justice when he first came on the bench. Thurgood Marshall before him was the first. But they despise him. We're going to take a look. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 favorite restaurants in the United States this past year. So stay tuned for that as well. Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin. Best haircut I've ever found in Tampa Bay is at Andrew's. They are located in the Overcash Plaza. That is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. That's a little bit west, a few miles west of Highway US 19. Call for your appointment first. 727-733-3773. And also, keep listening to Senior Voice America, which comes on before our show. Tim Bryce, Berkeley Badger, and all their colleagues, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Well, we're going to be talking about this border situation with Laura Reese in just a few minutes here. But officials from several Texas counties along the southern border have announced a series of emergency declarations to recognize the growing number of migrants amid what they said was lackluster support from the federal government. Several county judges have asked the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, to dedicate more resources towards illegal activity at the border and to address the resulting crime and quality of life issues. Boy, this fentanyl thing, isn't that becoming huge? With all that stuff crossing the border. God, that is potent. It makes just about every other drug look weak. It kills so easily. So this is really something, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it when we talk with Laura Reese. In the meantime, frustrated Democrats over President Biden's performance. Are they just now noticing? President Biden is finding himself largely powerless to address a spate of setbacks in recent weeks that have sparked alarm among the Democrats about the state of the country. Biden was dealt a blow, or has been dealt blow after blow in recent weeks. The Supreme Court, of course, struck down Roe versus Wade's constitutional right to an abortion. The gun violence, the latest example falling during Independence Day in Illinois. The rising cost of gasoline, the rising cost of food. Obviously, the border situation. In each case, Biden's hands are largely tied, frustrating Democrats and contributing to the president's political malaise. Well, it says here that his hands are largely tied. He just seems to be feckless. He doesn't seem to have any real, I don't know, authority anymore, you know? No gravitas. Most presidents have a little bit of gravitas. You feel you kind of feel the power that they have. Not necessarily with Biden. He has signed an executive action and a bipartisan bill aimed to curb gun violence. Well, he signs the bill, and then what happened in Highland Park? Turns out, I guess, that gun was registered to that guy. Now, if you look at his background, you go, how in the hell did he ever get a legal gun? It's amazing, the background of that character. Biden has taken some unilateral action to lower gas prices, such as releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. That's not enough. That's not going to do anything. That's a drop in the ocean. And he's calling on the Senate to alter the filibuster to codify Roe versus Wade. Well, they're not going to do that. There are too many people on the Democratic side, especially people like Joe Manchin, possibly Kyrsten Sinema. They're not going to do that. So that's not going to go anywhere. Here's the point. Biden doesn't get anybody to come together. Remember, he was big on being a unifier. That was the thing. He was going to be the unifier that Trump was not. I mean, even on the 4th of July speech that he made, he was disunifying. Is that the word? He brings up the Supreme Court decision. On the 4th of July, he's trashing the Supreme Court. He was trashing the Supreme Court over in Madrid, Spain. He's the great unifier. He's nothing but a guy that backs into his party, seems to hide behind the liberals. That's kind of the impression that I am getting about this guy. Here's one of the Democratic strategists. It's infuriating, he said, venting frustration about Biden and his team. Our house is on fire, and it seems like they're doing nothing to put the fire out. They're just watching it with the rest of us. So finally, the Democrats are getting wise? Well, I think they've known this for a while. A Monmouth University poll released yesterday found 88% of Americans believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. 88%. You can't get any higher. Because there's always going to be 12% that don't know what day it is. But 88% of the country, 88% think we're headed in the wrong direction. I've never been in an environment like that. So it's really kind of scary. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, Laura Reese will join us. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court, what she calls unwise decision to end the Remain in Mexico policy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Following the holidays, I'm glad to be back. And also delighted to have back Laura Reese, who is director of the Border Security and Immigration Center at the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk with Laura about last week's Supreme Court decision, or at least it came out last week, that ends the remain in Mexico policy by a 5-4 decision, including Chief Justice John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh. They decided that that particular Trump piece of work was no longer something that they could stand behind. Laura, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me on.
So let's talk a little bit about, first of all, the Remain in Mexico policy. I did kind of worry that it was basically, was it not based on the fact that we had the pandemic, and maybe it was kind of a reason by Trump or an excuse by Trump to keep people in Mexico? They used that sort of as one of the reasons. Tell us a little bit about the perhaps the origin of the Remain in Mexico policy.
Sure. So this was a unused authority that Congress passed in legislation back in 1996, but no president used it before. And in 2018, we were seeing large caravans of illegal aliens coming up through Central America and Mexico. They were coached to say that they were afraid to return home, and then they would be released into the U.S., often never to be seen again. And so President Trump implemented the Remain in Mexico program, which said basically, if you're going to seek asylum, you're going to have to wait your proceedings on the Mexican side of the border. And what happened was, when future illegal aliens learned it was no longer the golden ticket to get into the U.S. by just saying a few words of fear, the caravans stopped coming. So it was a very effective program. The left criticizes it as, oh, well, even Trump didn't enroll that many people in the program. But the more important number is who didn't come.
Okay. And why would the Supreme Court, therefore, want to overturn it? What was the reasoning behind their 5-4 decision?
So the Biden campaign made it clear that they did not like this program, that they were going to stop it. And when Biden came into the White House, they stopped enrolling new people into the program immediately and then rescinded the program in a very short June 2021 memo. Texas and Missouri took them to court, and ultimately the administration issued a new, longer memo, more thoroughly explaining why they were rescinding the program. The statute says that the Secretary of Homeland Security may, not shall, return migrants to Mexico in this case to await their proceedings. And while the immigration law also says you are supposed to, shall detain such illegal aliens, the Supreme Court ruled, well, Remain in Mexico reads may. It doesn't say that if DHS can't detain everyone, it therefore turns into shall remain in Mexico. And so they ruled that the Secretary of Homeland Security was able to rescind the program.
Got it. So it turned on a word. If it said shall,
yes,
rather than may, it said may.
Yes.
All right. So,
this is something that Congress should fix. Turn it into a shall.
Yeah. What are the chances, Laura, that Congress is going to deal with this and turn it into a shell? What do you think?
Well, hopefully this next election in November, there will be a large red wave so that we have a sufficient number of members who are willing to not just introduce meaningful immigration, border security legislation, but see it through to the end. Now, is Biden going to sign something? Depends on what's in it.
Yeah. And he's going to be pushed by the left not to sign it. God knows why. I mean, if they look back now, Democrats, they're not gaining Hispanic votes. They're losing them. Hispanic U.S. citizens are dropping out of the Democratic Party. Maybe they can pick up on that a little bit. This country wants our borders to be secure. I think everybody's beginning to see that. And then we've got, you know, we mentioned this drug problem, this hideous drug problem. What constituency do you think Biden is trying to please by allowing these people to continue to pour in like this?
It's radical left groups that seemingly have financially supported him and got him into office. It's certainly not American citizens. It's certainly not lawful immigrants. They holler the loudest against these policies. They want immigration laws to be obeyed just like they did. And so, you're right, we are seeing a growing number of Hispanic Americans voting for security and safety and the economy, et cetera.
We're talking with Laura Reese. She's the director of the Border Security and Immigration Center at the Heritage Foundation. We're talking about the Supreme Court's 5-4 decision to end the Remain in Mexico policy. It's interesting. Of course, the three liberals voted to end the program. Why do you think, other than the word shall to may, or may to shall, were there any other reasons that you could see why John Roberts, and maybe especially Brett Kavanaugh, decided that that program should no longer exist?
Well, besides the May, there was also the foreign relations issue. The government attorney complained that it would require and be too difficult to negotiate with the government of Mexico to reinstitute and fully implement the Remain in Mexico program. It was a cop-out. That is specifically a function of the executive branch of government, is to negotiate with other countries. But this administration is unwilling to do so. And to use U.S.'s incredible leverage with respect to Mexico to get concessions and agreements. And the Supreme Court said we can't make the executive branch of government do foreign relation negotiations. So that was another reason they pointed to. And then the third one, which I think was really odd by the court, given that three justices, including Justice Kagan, questioned the government hard about mass parole. The government is paroling in hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens into the country. It violates the statute, which it says it's supposed to be on a case-by-case basis, temporary for significant public benefit or humanitarian purposes. And the justices questioned the government on that during the argument, yet in their written ruling, they simply said the government can parole. They dodged the issue.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've got Texas. I guess Texas, more than any other state right now, is trying to take some action to stem the tide. And, of course, they have a large Mexican border to deal with. Officials from several counties along the southern border in Texas have announced a series of emergency declarations. So they're kind of taking the bull by the horns. But then this is something that is supposed to be handled technically by the federal government. And so now you run into the situation where the federal government might end up suing the government of Texas, the Republic of Texas, for doing things to stem the tide and for doing things that are really supposed to be done by the federal government. It becomes kind of an Alice in Wonderland thing, doesn't it?
It does. the single job of the federal government is to protect this country. And this administration refuses to uphold our sovereignty and protect the border. But if a state on the border attempts to, this administration absolutely would go sue over that in court. It is completely backwards.
Yeah.
And we saw a bit of this under President Obama against Arizona when Arizona stepped out and passed a number of laws to deal with illegal immigration within Arizona. And the Obama administration sued, and that went to the Supreme Court as well.
We were taught, you focused on the fact that that Biden might veto any legislation, even if after November, Republicans take control of, say, both houses. They would need a two-thirds, if I'm not mistaken, a two-thirds majority in both houses to overturn a veto, correct?
If memory serves, yes, they.
I think it is. I should remember this from my civics class. But anyway, it's going to be tough because I would be surprised, particularly in the Senate, if they have two-thirds support. Although you would think a lot of Democrats in these border states, including California, Arizona, Texas, would get religion on this. Because they're...
Yeah,
go ahead.
It depends on when there is an election. I mean, we saw a little bit of this a couple months ago when Title 42, the public health authority, was going to be ended by the administration. But because November election was approaching, you had several members in Congress, including Democrats, saying, don't end this authority. Once we get past November, the pressure is going to be off some of those members. And so they will revert to their rather weak positions regarding border security.
Why is it that the far left wants all these illegals to come pouring across the border?
For them, it seems they view it as votes, money, and power. Now, you know, as we discussed earlier, are they making the right calculation when it comes to votes?
No. Apparently not, if you believe some of the polls. It's been a complete turnaround with a Hispanic. Now, Hispanics are notably kind of conservative in their values, in their culture, to some extent. So I'm not surprised that they are gravitating a bit towards, say, Republican values. So I'm wondering if these liberals have a little bit of a tin ear, or... Are they, you know, people will say, oh, well, it's because they really want to overthrow our government, you know? I mean, if the executive branch, if their main job is to protect the security of our country, and they're allowing this border. By the way, didn't the United Nations say that our southern border was the most dangerous border in the world right now?
Yes, it did.
Isn't that unbelievable? I mean, I can't believe it.
It is unbelievable.
You think about the borders that we've got in China and in Russia and some of these other countries, Iran. This is really amazing that they have voted this way. You would think, my goodness, you would think both sides in Washington would see that. It's really strange. Any final thoughts on this? Do we have, is there any hope once the November election, let's say a slide towards a Republican, is there any hope that we can start, say, building a little bit more of that Trump wall or whatever?
Well, if Congress exercises its power of the purse, it absolutely needs to, and in both directions. It needs to fund programs that will enforce the laws, and it needs to defund programs or parts of DHS and DOJ that undermine the law. And right now, neither is happening.
Wow. Laura, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We thank you so very much for taking time with us this morning.
Thanks so much, Paul.
All right. Laura Reese, Heritage Foundation. We are going to take our break. When we come back, American confidence in just about every U.S. institution is down right now, according to a new Gallup poll. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber poll about that, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street by co-host and financial veteran Berkeley Badger. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday, and we thank you so very much for being with us here on Freedom Works. Well, the Gallup poll is out again, and golly, every time I look at these polls, you just become more and more depressed, no matter what they are. But apparently, Americans are less confident in major U.S. institutions than they've ever been, with significant declines for 11 of the 16 institutions that were tested, and not one of the 16 institutions got a positive, no improvement in any of the 16. As an example, and we'll use 2021 and then 2022, the military is down 5%, from 69% approval to 64%. The police, from 51%, which is not that high, I would have thought it was higher than that, but it's down now to 45%. Our medical system, you know, Obamacare and all the health care, 44% was its confidence before 2022. That's not very good, but it's down to 38%. How about the church? Church and confidence in organized religion. It was only 37% last year. It's down to 31% now. Public schools. Confidence in our own educational public schools. It was at 32%. It's down to 28%. Our public schools. Banking. 33% confidence. Now it's down to 27%. The Supreme Court. You would think, okay, the Supreme Court, that's a venerated institution. Not necessarily. Last year, 36%. It's down to 25%. That's an 11% drop. We got the master barber listening patiently to all of this. It's very pessimistic, Andrew. What do you think about this?
Well, I think it's all one party's fault.
All the Democrats, huh?
All the Democrats' fault, Paul. Look what's going on. The country's in turmoil. You know, I went to buy some fireworks.
Yes.
On Sunday. And I usually get a really good spread. I put on a great show.
You do.
And what I normally would spend $339 for last year was $830.
Wow.
Okay, it went up $500.
Wow. That's over 100%.
No question about it.
Yeah.
No so, question about it.
Now, just to let everybody know, you have a little fireworks for the neighborhood that you do every 4th of July, and you attract quite a few people there, and it's one great event. I guess you go outside there on the curb or whatever.
Yep, you got it.
Yeah? By the way, how did that go, despite the cost?
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. The crowd was there. Everybody was cheering, and I was out $1,400 for the show, man.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Well, God bless you. I always worry about people that are lighting fireworks, because every 4th of July, you know, the next day, you know, you're going to read some story about somebody and somebody gets hurt, and it happened again this year. But are you the one that does the lighting, or do you have somebody else do it?
My son and my grandson do it.
Yeah, that's it. Let them do it.
The key, Paul, is don't be drunk.
Yes, that's true, too. Yeah.
That's the main key. And if people remember that, they'll be fine. But, you know, by that time on the 4th of July, most people are three sheets to the wind.
Yeah, you're right. So getting back to patriotism and the like, Andrew, we all have seen the numbers. Even Biden, you'd think that he would try to unify. He gets up there for his 4th of July speech, and he starts to trash the Supreme Court on the 4th of July. Can you believe it?
Paul, he's been trashing the country since he's been in office, okay? This is what they're trying to do, and they're doing a good job of it. But apparently, the people don't like the job he's doing because he's down to 33%.
Oh, no, he's horrible. Yeah, the presidency. Let me see if I can find it on this list. Here's the presidency. It was at 38%. It's down to 23%. This is Gallup. 23% have confidence in the presidency. That's the worst it's ever been. It dropped 15% from last year. This guy, I don't think, even Democrats, we were talking about it earlier today, even the Democrats are saying, this guy's getting nothing done. They're going to get rid of him before the Republicans do.
No, no, no. He is getting stuff done.
Oh, is he?
It's all in the negative.
Yes.
Nothing positive.
No.
He's destroying the country. This is what the Democrats are paid to do by the elites, okay? Bring in socialism, destroy the country, make the people hurt. And they are hurting, Paul, because I could tell you there was nobody buying fireworks at the tent. They don't have the money.
You're right.
Normally.
They got to save it for other things, like food.
That's right. And that's up how much. I mean, I was in a grocery store the other day, and I saw prices up on things $2 and $3, Paul.
Oh, yeah. Everything's up.
Okay, so...
And by the way, maybe you've heard this, but we are now, because recession is draping us and looming and coming down, or maybe here, we will see the prices of food and gasoline go down because of a recession, which means that we're going to have an issue with people pulling back on purchasing things. You know what I mean? So we've got that. We got one. You got the frying pan or you got the fire. You take your pick.
That's it. And we're getting both, actually.
You're right.
Frying pan and the fire.
Yeah. So what are we going to do here, Andrew? I know you always want to be a positive guy about things.
The thing we got to do, period, is get rid of the rhino Republicans come November and get rid of the Democrats, period. And hopefully we get a bunch of patriots in there that believe in the Constitution like our governor.
Yeah, I just was going to bring him up. That was my next question with you. And that is Ron DeSantis, who is still the golden boy, who has now become the golden boy, I think, of the Republican Party. I don't know of anybody else that engenders more confidence as far as Republicans go. I think he's the guy. Now, he might be a reluctant warrior, correct?
Paul, you know, the thing that people got to realize is Ron uses common sense for every decision he's making. And if the other politicians would use common sense, I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican, and forget about their so-called agenda to put America first, you'll see a big change in this country. But until they do that, we need to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he speaks from the... I think people believe him when he says what he says. They may not always agree, but he certainly... You know where he stands. I mean, people like Biden, who's been a politician all of his life, has never done anything else since he came out of school but be in politics. Go ahead.
Most of these people that are politicians all of their life don't do anything because they don't know anything. When I was a kid growing up, your presidents were military usually.
Right.
I remember Eisenhower.
You're right.
Vaguely. I was a little kid, then yeah. Kennedy. But these were military men.
That's right.
Now what you're getting, these politicians that are brainwashed from their college professors to be liberals. The country is no good. And these people have not experienced anything in life right out of school. They're getting into politics.
Yeah, in fact, I was just trying to think of the first president that was not a military man in our lifetime or in the last 150 years, and I think it was Bill Clinton.
That's right.
Everybody else was either, you know, look at Eisenhower and Kennedy and Nixon.
That's right. That's right.
And Johnson.
Well, Paul, we need to bring back the draft. Get rid of the woke military. Every kid out of high school does 2 years for their country. Doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
That's what they need to do. We need to make decent human beings out of these people. Look at this kid the other day in Chicago. There were no signs. The parents are saying there's no signs. look at your son. Look at the mirror. Look at this kid. He looks like a degenerate, and I'll guarantee you he's been on drugs since he was in kindergarten.
Yeah, he looks scary in that picture. You know, actually, he was caught some years back with a hoard of weapons in his house. Do you remember that? Reading about that? And how did... So they took all the... And he had guns, too, at that time. So the police confiscated all of that stuff. The guy's been in and out of trouble. How did he ever get those guns legally? They said he legally got purchased those guns.
It's crazy, Paul. It's crazy. I mean, the laws are out there to stop people like this. I mean, I know somebody that owns a gun store. If he doesn't like the way people dress and the way they look, he won't sell them a gun.
Yeah.
It's his right.
He's got to have a little radar to...
That's right, and it's his right to turn people down.
Yeah, you're right, it is. I mean, we can pass all of the extra laws we want to pass, but I don't think... Let me ask you this. We have had a real spate of these crazed loner killers that are, you know, not serial killers, but, you know, mass killings recently. Well, obviously, we had this in Texas, in the classroom, and then we've had it here in Illinois. We've had them all over the place. Why? Is there something about the anger that a lot of people have? What do you think?
Well, I believe that most of these mass shooters, from the time they were in kindergarten, were put on mind-altering drugs like Ritalin.
Okay.
Again, I'm going to bring this up.
Sure.
When they got a little bit older and Ritalin wasn't strong enough, they put them on Adderall, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you got these kids 16, 18, 20 years old, been on these drugs all their life. If you look at the...
Kind of mind-altering drugs, do you think?
That's right, they are. There's no question about it. They're prescription drugs to boot. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, every one of these, if you look at their appearance, all look the same, Paul. They don't look any different than the person that's using street drugs that's highly addicted and ready to kill themselves for overdose.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the transformation of these pictures of people that you have seen.
You're right. That guy looks totally spaced out, the Highland Park suspect.
Okay, but
suspect.
They're not going to tell you this, Paul. They're going to blame the gun. It's not the gun. It's the pharmaceutical companies, and the only reason they don't talk about it is because that's the only industry we got in this country that's supporting it.
I think you make a very good point. We are over-drugged. As a society, to begin with, we are over-drugged.
There's no question about it, be it legal or illegal drugs.
Yeah.
Paul. And like I said, if you look at every one of these shooters, they all look the same.
Yeah.
And it's all because of the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And until we stop this drug problem, until we stop the pharmaceutical companies and the schools for putting these kids on mind-altering drugs and let them wear off their energies... Okay, give them space to go play so they can get calmed down while they're in school. It says, no, we can handle them. We'll put them on Ritalin. We can control how they act now.
You know, speaking...
It's a byproduct of it, Paul.
Right. Speaking about drugs, that basketball player that's been held over in Russia, who was trying to get out of the country, Rita Greener, Ed and I were talking about it before the show, is still there. And she's becoming very upset because Joe Biden isn't doing much. I don't know what he can do to begin with, but why would somebody, if it's true, why would somebody try to sneak out of the country with any kind of illegal substance from Russia? You can just imagine how dangerous that was.
It was pretty stupid.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
I mean, if you smuggled them in and you got away with it and you used them while they were there, you should have left them there or flushed them down a toilet and got on your plane.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if it's really true. You know, in Russia, they'll hold you and make something up. But if it's true, it was really dumb. No question about it.
No question about it, Paul.
All right.
None whatsoever.
It's always a pleasure, Andrew. I know that things are going to be better as time goes on. We're just going to keep up the faith. Thank you very much, and we'll talk with you on Friday.
You got it, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, sir. Thanks. All right. Andrew, the master barber. All right, we're going to take our break when we come back. Why does the left so despise Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas? We're going to take a look.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Join the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill every Saturday from noon to 2 as we cover Tampa Bay sports, from the peewees to the preps to the pros, providing a positive perspective in our weekly interviews with NFL alumni and Florida Sports Hall of Fame inductees, as well as collegiate, high school, youth coaches, and players, conversations from the clubhouse, as well as entertaining guests weekly. So be sure to have a championship day with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Saturdays from 12 to 2 on the Tantalk family of stations.
Hey, we are back. Thank you very much for being with us on a Wednesday, Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, and very grateful to be able to talk to you those 3 days. But if you cannot listen live, Big Ed, bless his heart, puts all of our shows on podcast and tucks them into our website. So just go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top, and he's provided you with all the shows, most recent show at the top. On down, you'll see the guests that we have, and you'll also see the top 10, OurFreedomWorks.com. So Clarence Thomas was right in the middle of the Roe versus Wade decision that has come out, but he's been a target of the left ever since he became a Supreme Court justice. He harbors, apparently, according to Hillary Clinton, he is a person of grievance, harboring resentment and anger. Now, how does she become a psychoanalyst to Clarence Thomas? That's what she says. And I've got to, I want to credit this guy. His name is Tom Elliott. He is writing for The Federalist, who has written a piece about why the race, he calls it, why the racist left smears Clarence Thomas as an angry black man. So I thought what we would do is talk a little bit for the next few shows that we are doing at the end of our show about this anger towards Clarence Thomas. And we're going to start this morning with some of the people that indeed resent him. The New York Times once called Clarence Thomas the Supreme Court's, quote, youngest and angriest, unquote. Frank Rich, who was a Times columnist, accused him of rage and unreconstructed racial bitterness. Maureen Dowd, a colleague of Frank Rich's at the New York Times, has over the years variously described Clarence Thomas as barking mad, dishonest, and angry, bitter, and self-pitying. CNN legal correspondent Jeffrey Toobin had an article, "Why is Justice Thomas so angry?" I mean, what is going on with these people? Where do they come up with that? I think the guy's been the longest serving justice right now on the Supreme Court. But the best place, it says here, for insight into the Thomas anger is with the man himself. In his autobiography, My Grandfather's Son, Clarence Thomas says his bouts with anger in early life were at their most intense when during his college years, he grew drunk with revolutionary rhetoric. But the black nationalist philosophy apparently did not suit him very long. His life evolved, so did his thinking. And the hostility that Clarence Thomas once directed at a racist American society found new targets. He does admit when he was younger that he had an anger issue. And it had to do with the perception that he was probably, as a black man, not being treated equally. But he had a father that would not allow him to be a self-pitying individual and continued to exhort him to pick himself up and realize that the only way that you're going to succeed is on your own terms. Here's an example. His grandfather, he and his brother labored so intensively in maintaining a farm that Clarence once reminded his grandfather, who was overseeing things, that slavery has ended. And his grandfather said, "Not my house." He said, without hard work, self-reliance was impossible. His grandfather taught the boys that self-reliance can earn men their freedom. So there you go. We're going to talk a little bit more about Clarence Thomas on our next show and the next couple of shows as well. I wanted to talk with Ed a little bit, however. We've had our 4th of July. When is the All-Star game for baseball? And I've kind of lost track with everything going on in the news.
I think that's coming up next week. I'm not sure.
I think you're right, too.
I think next week.
Something like the 10th or 11th or something like that. Okay. Yeah. So as we get, we consider the 4th of July to sort of be, maybe it isn't, but kind of like the halfway point of baseball. How are our beloved Tampa Bay Rays doing right now?
I've been on them because they've been stinking up the joint the last couple of weeks or so. They've just had an awful month of June the last 3 years. And, then they went into Toronto and played very well. And I think they won the series there. And then they just, they came and they lost the first one against Boston. And last night they trounced, the Rays had a good night and trounced the Red Sox.
And they did.
I don't get that damn stadium up there with the
You talking about Boston or
Boston? I don't get the whole. It's like putting a hopscotch court on a round driveway.
Okay.
Well,
you got to remember
it just doesn't fit.
You ever been there?
No,
I haven't either. But I've been around it. I've driven around. They had to tuck that thing in.
I know.
To a little neighborhood. It was the same in Chicago.
I know,
as Wrigley
but it's almost like they couldn't afford any more grass. So they built a really tall. Anytime you have to doink a baseball off the wall, and it's still in play, that's called paddleball.
I know, but it's kind of fun.
No, it's not. If it hits the wall, it's over.
The wall's only 250 feet.
But these stadiums moving walls in and out just to like the Yankees. The Yankees moved that right field wall in just for their advantage.
There used to be a time, I don't know if you ever saw this, but way back, they used to have those monuments out in center field.
Yeah, I heard about
that.
It
was in play.
Yeah.
You'd have to run behind the monuments to pick up the ball.
Yeah, or run into a monument.
Or, God forbid, run into the monument.
Yeah. But the Rays were fun to watch last night.
Yeah, they were.
And I know we always say this again, but they seem to be putting things together again.
Good. All right, let's get to our top 10. I think it's an interesting one. And we do this every year. The top 10 favorite U.S. restaurants. This is the American Customer Satisfaction Index. The study was compiled using interviews with over 20,000 customers between April 2021 and March 2022. So these are the best restaurants. And Ed is very excited. I just noticed he yawned while I said that. So here we go. Actually, Ed, we've got three people at the bottom of the top 10, so it's really number 9. The first number 9 is Papa John's Pizza.
Okay.
They're still doing pretty good, although they got rid of John.
So we're talking basically fast food here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we are, because they are the most frequented restaurants. You're right, we should have said that. Although, if it's a frequented restaurant, that's not fast food, it would count. All right. Next, number 9. I don't know this place. Five Guys?
Yeah, Five Guys Pizza and Fries, I think it's called.
Really?
Yeah.
Do we have them around here?
Yeah, but they kind of whimpered out.
They
got some bad reviews, yeah.
Well, there's five according guys, to this, they're popular.
But other parts of the country, maybe.
Maybe you're right.
It's a franchise thing, so you can have a really bad franchise, you know?
That's right. All right. Third number nine. Arby's.
You know something? You speak of Arby's. You know, there was one on Gulf to Bay for years.
Yeah.
And that was one of the original ones. And they didn't knock it down. They just now renovated the place.
Did they?
But they didn't knock it down. They wanted to keep the original structure together. There was a big write-up in the paper. I remember that.
Okay. For those of you that are not
back open again.
From Tampa Bay, Gulf to Bay is a huge east-west that links Pinellas County with...
across the stream from Clearwater High School.
Yeah, it goes across the bay. All right. Now, the next are number four, because we have four of them, all right? So, first number four, Starbucks. Now, I always think of that for coffee.
That's a restaurant?
I guess because they sell food, you can and they are popular. They are popular. I guess they go in for the coffee.
If I'm hungry, I'm not going to Starbucks.
I wouldn't go to Starbucks. No, okay. Next number four, Pizza Hut. That's been around a long time.
Yeah, they're barely still around, I think.
Well, they must be doing something right. They're coming in number four.
They were big when you used to be able to dine in the restaurant.
That's true.
Because they used to have the salad bar and stuff.
Yeah.
Now it's the pizza kind of thick and greasy.
Okay. Yeah. Number four.
Yeah, we got over that grease. We don't like grease now.
All right. Panera. I think of them as the Panera bread. And it's like a Starbucks, isn't it?
Yeah, soup and stuff like that. A place to go on a rainy day.
Yeah. For some reason, I would think Panera. I have a better feeling about Panera than Starbucks for some reason.
Ever go to Panera? Try their white macaroni and cheese.
White macaroni and cheese. The tip from
good
a bit.
God.
Don't try it or do.
Oh, try it. Yeah.
Try it. Okay, you like it. All right. Final number four. Chipotle.
Chipotle.
Oh, excuse me.
Chipotle.
Excuse me, Chipotle.
Chipotle, when you go to Chipotle, you don't leave hungry, I'll tell you that.
All right, they give you a lot of food.
They load you up.
Do you like it?
Yeah, too much. I haven't had it in a while, but okay. You know, Chipotle is good.
We got two number threes. Number three, one, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Okay, we all know Kentucky Fried Chicken. Let's go to the next one. Next one, go ahead. Domino's Pizza. All right, we got that. Number two. Jimmy John's.
Hang on.
Jimmy John's is number two, and I don't know much about it. I think it might be a pizza place, but anyway, Jimmy John's. And finally, number one, Chick-fil-A. They are popular.
Unless Sunday.
Sunday they're closed.
You know, I always crave Chick-fil-A on a Sunday.
I want to ask a favor of you and everybody around. A very special lady of mine, a friend of mine who has been my best friend for the past 15 years. Her name is Gail Paremba. She's had a couple of medical challenges recently. She's very resilient, but right now she needs your thoughts and your prayers. So I'm asking everybody within the sound of my voice,
of course,
take a moment. Say a little prayer for Gail Paremba. Yeah. All right. We will be back on Wednesday. And do remember.
What was the number one?
You were on the phone or something. Number one was Chick-fil-A.
Oh, Chick-fil-A. Okay.
Chick-fil-A. All right. All right. Thanks again.